It has been a great evening, amen. And thank you for the, I forget what you call it, what is it? Rover?
Yeah. What would you call it?
Travel bag, yeah. I travel every once in a while, so that'll be a big help to me, okay? Good deal. Okay, open your Bibles tonight to 1 Kings chapter 8 and just a couple of verses. And you will recognize this as the very end of Solomon's dedicatory prayer for the great temple that has been built. Verse 54 says, "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel." Now here's what we're thinking about tonight, okay? "According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of his Moses, his servant." Think about it. God, all of the promises, there has not failed one word of all his good promise. Dr. Herbert Lockyer has written many books about different things in the Bible. For instance, all of the men of the Bible, all of the women of the Bible, all of the animals of the Bible, all of the prayers of the Bible. One of the books that he wrote is called All of the Promises of the Bible. In the preface to this book, Dr. Lockyer tells us that there are 7,487 promises that God has made to man. Now, don't worry, okay? I'm not going to preach about all those promises tonight, okay? I often hear people make the statement, "I wish I had more faith." Probably you've made that statement sometime. I'm sure I've made it, okay? But when I hear that and I think about it now, I think, you know, you can have more faith. The way you can have more faith is to read the Bible more. Because the Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Think about that. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you read your Bible through in 1 year, and that's a wonderful thing for everybody to do. I began that many, many years ago, probably 55, 60 years ago, something like that. But if you read your Bible through in 1 year, you will find an average of 20 promises per day. By the way, that's enough promises to continue to develop your faith. "There hath not failed one word of all his good promise." Every promise that God has made, every one of the 7,487 promises that God has made, has been or will be literally fulfilled. There has not failed one word of all his good promise. Have you ever noticed that you can't believe everything that anybody promises? I think commercials are made for idiots, okay? You know, some of you ladies have fallen for some of the cosmetic commercials. You just buy this and smear it on your face a few nights. First thing you know, you'll be a ravishing beauty. And many of you tried it and it didn't work, okay? By the way, it's the same thing with men. We fall for all kind of dumb things like that too. So you cannot believe every promise that everybody has made. We're in the midst of a big time presidential election. And you think of all the promises that have been made. And if either of them could keep all the promises that they've made, we could live in a utopia. But the bottom line is, you can't believe all the promises that everybody makes. However, it is said of some people, and this ought to be said of all of God's people, His word is as good as gold. Now, what does that mean? That means if that person tells you something, you can mark it down, he will do it. He will keep his promise. But I'm sure that all of us have had situations where we promised something and we fully intended to do it, but something came up that prevented us from fulfilling that promise. I never will forget one of the first meetings I had to call a pastor and say, I'd plan to be in your church tomorrow, but I cannot be there. My car's broken down in Southern Illinois. They can't get a part until tomorrow. I'll not be able to be there. For many, many years, in fact, until I was about 70 years old, I never had to miss one engagement because of illness. That's a miracle of God. Thank God for that. Now, it's been a little bit different in the last 18 years, okay? But so sometimes we make promises. We intend to keep them. But for some reason or another, we cannot keep the promise. I wonder if that will ever happen to God. I wonder if God would ever say to us, well, yeah, sure, I made that promise, but between then and now, some things have come up that I did not know about, so I'll not be able to keep that promise. My dear friend, that'll never happen with God. Somebody as well said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? In other words, God knows the beginning from the end. Listen to the psalmist. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in heaven, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. That's our God, amen. Isaiah chapter 46 says, remember the former thing of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Thank God. Our God that has made for us 7,487 promises will keep every one of them. He is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. Now tonight, as I mentioned, we're not going to think about all the 7,487 promises that God has made to us. But let me think with you for just a few minutes about some pertinent promises pertaining to world evangelization. And by the way, we have had a wonderful night, have we not? All the testimonies that we've heard and all the zeal of the people that have been called of God and the wonderful things that are happening. So let's just think about just three pertinent promises pertaining to missions. Promise number one, God has promised Eternal life to every believer. Is that a great promise or not? God has promised eternal life to every believer. Now, the reason he can do that is because Jesus Christ, God's Son, paid the ultimate price for our sins. Every sin will be punished. Every sin, no sin goes unpunished. Thank God Jesus Christ bore our sins. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. By the way, that's God's goal for every born-again child of God. Now, none of us have reached that goal quite yet, okay? But the longer we're saved, the less we ought to sin, amen? These things have a... My little children, these things have I written to you that you sin not. Now, notice that. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Advocate, a lawyer. As somebody as well said, if you want to go to heaven, you better get yourself a good Jewish lawyer. His name is Jesus, okay? Now notice what it says of him. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation. The word propitiation means the sacrifice that pleases Almighty God. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. In other words, you cannot take the gospel to the wrong person. You cannot give the gospel out where it is not needed. Jesus Christ died for us. And because of that, he can promise us eternal life. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chiefest. That's the Apostle Paul. I was the chiefest. In other words, since the Lord saved me, then he can save anyone. This is a faithful saying. Again, 1 Timothy 4:9. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Listen to that. Potentially, Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. Will all men be saved? No. But all men can be saved. Effectively, he is the Savior of all of those who believe. So the question tonight is, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Then if you do, you are as sure for heaven as if you were already there. God has promised eternal life to every believer. I love the passage in John chapter 10, beginning with verse 27. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which giveth me them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Are we not secure in the Lord? Nobody is strong enough to pluck a child of God out of the hands of Almighty God. In the little letter of Jude, the Bible says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. In other words, we are preserved. Nothing can get to us. First Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance, listen to this, I love it, into an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Think about this. If one believer misses heaven and goes to hell, God will have to break his promise. But don't worry about it. It's not going to happen, okay? That will never happen. God has promised eternal life to every believer. By the way, isn't that what missions is all about? We want the whole world to know about Jesus so that they can praise him as we sang tonight, this choir sing. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, all to the glory of God. God's glory is the primary purpose for missions, and very near that is the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. So the first promise is this. God has promised eternal life to every believer. But you know, there's another promise. And that is that God has promised eternal damnation to all unbelievers. They tell me now in evangelical Christianity that there are many who are denying or doubting or questioning the reality of hell. By the way, could I submit, if heaven is a reality, so is hell. And if hell is not a reality, neither is heaven. But thank God, I know and you know both of them are real. But the Bible has promised eternal damnation to everyone that refuses to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. John 5:28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. They shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and that they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's a great verse in Matthew chapter 25 that I hope all of us will get a hold of. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, in this same passage, Jesus talks about the eternal glory of the saved and so forth. And in verse 41, he says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And occasionally you hear people say, how can God send anybody to hell? God does not desire that any would go to hell. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hell was not prepared for mankind. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angel. And if you reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and spend eternity in hell, you'll go to a place that you're not wanted. It was not prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. In verse 46 of Matthew 25, it says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Notice the same kind of terminology. that is spoken of believers who are going to heaven is spoken of as unbelievers who are going to hell. Romans 2:6 says this, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient countenance and well-doing seek for the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Listen to the simple statement. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. Wages is what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. In other words, if I die in my sin, if I die an unbeliever, then the wages for that sin is death. That is eternal separation from Almighty God in a place that the Bible calls hell. But there's a good ending to that verse. But the gift of God, not something we buy, not something we pay for, not something we work for, but the gift of God is eternal life. Let me give you one other promise. God has promised, and I believe this from the depth of my heart, the child of God and the will of God, everything that we need. In Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, what does that bring about? And the peace of God. Wow. Nothing is more important to the child of God than to have the peace of God. Now, the moment we're saved, we have peace with God. But when we trust Him and obey Him, we have His peace. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So God gives us, promises us peace. He promises us provisions. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Think about that. Jesus said, don't be so worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, all of those things. And he said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. People that don't know God, they worry about things like that. Then he made a wonderful statement. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Maybe God's dealing with your heart about what you should give to mission. Maybe God is dealing with your heart about whether you should be a missionary or not. Maybe God is dealing with your heart about something else, and you kind of think, but what would happen to me? What would happen to my children? What would happen to my household if I did that? Now, here's God's promise. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Listen to that. All we have to do, and you read all of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is preparing His disciples. And all we have to do is find out what God wants us to do and do it. To find out where God wants us to go and go. To find out what God wants us to give and do it. And when we do, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm going to give you a Don Sis paraphrase. You see, I don't like paraphrases. I don't either, okay? But I think this is pretty good, okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You take care of God's business. And all these things shall be added unto you. And God will take care of your business. So God gives us provisions. Then last of all, God has promised souls for our labor. When we are involved in the work of God, we have an unconditional promise. This became my life verse many, many years ago after reading Dr. John R. Rice's book, The Soul Winner's Fire. Listen to it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, thank God for that word, amen, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I've often thought, and it's been my privilege to live a lot of years and be in a lot of places, but I could go anywhere and do anything by seeing souls saved. When we go where God wants us to go, and we go in God's way, weeping, bearing precious seed, God has promised us precious souls. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God has promised eternal life to every believer. God has promised eternal damnation to every unbeliever. And God has promised the child of God, in the will of God, everything that he needs. God is so faithful to provide for us. Lamentation 3:22, you know it, it's a wonderful verse. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And by the way, since he has been so faithful to us, then we must by all means be faithful to him. Paul made this statement indicating what we are. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And then he makes the statement, moreover, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's pray together.